Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. 95 years sees a lot of seasons and a lot of matters on this side of heaven. Dorothy surely saw her share. In those years, she was one of an ever-shrinking population here at Trinity who was served by every pastor in our congregation's history, baptized and confirmed by our founding pastor, Reverend Easeman, and today entrusted into the eternal care of our Lord by the most recent. I suspect it quite fair to say that all of her pastors loved her dearly. How could you not? Mrs. Fick, who plays the organ for us today and so often in our worship, summed it up so nicely this past week as we were visiting. She said, "Dorothy was always such a loving, gentle witness of her faith whenever we met for Women of Trinity." Indeed, she was. It was through her gentle and confident faith that I first got to know Dorothy. At our weekly Wednesday morning Bible classes. Now, she was not a woman naive about this world, far from it. But whenever our Bible class conversation turned toward the many temptations that would lead people astray, or the broken state of our world and how it so clashed with the gospel, Dorothy would bring the conversation back to the simplicity of God's grace, how he desires to love us and invites us to love him in response. It often seemed as if, far from our Bible class setting, that she was speaking out into a larger world as if to say, "Don't you understand?" She had a deep, abiding relationship with her Lord, and I think she was a bit perplexed as to why someone wouldn't desire such a relationship themselves. And throughout her many seasons, there were ample times of joy. I'm sure many stories that you could share together, some portrayed in the images we enjoyed this morning. She seemed always to genuinely enjoy the fellowship of dear friends and family. And a good beer wouldn't hurt either. And it was such a pleasure for my wife, Mary, and for me to attend her 90th birthday celebration, where Mary recalled the other day that the tag we put on her gift, which might have been beer, that it read, "You were created the apple of his eye. You live as the salt of the earth, and you are still the life of the party." But there were, of course, times of sorrow across these 95 years as well, especially through the illness and death of her beloved Mel and Sister Marjorie. But when attending other funerals or discussing other such sorrowful moments in life, Dorothy would often say this, "I don't understand how people without faith in God can get through it. We have this wonderful comfort, even though we're sad. We know that God's love is here for us, comforting us and seeing us through. We have hope. She seemed always ready, in her gentle, confident manner, to share the hope she had in Jesus as her Savior. And for as sweet, as gentle, and as gentle as I knew her to be, Dorothy also knew herself to be in need of God's grace. And that humility was also a visible part of her witness. Now, for Dorothy, it must be said, there was also a time to speak up, a time to express one's point of view and be heard. And so she did, with the same graceful conviction that she exuded so often. And I can recall two such examples here at Trinity in recent years, and both of them related to various church building projects that we had undertaken. When we proposed to replace the south sidewalk alongside the church as part of some other maintenance projects, Dorothy spoke up. You see, she said the sidewalk really must be widened. And she did so for the sake of care, the care of others. She explained it must be wide enough for two people to comfortably walk alongside one another, especially if one is offering an arm in support of the other. The current walk didn't really allow for that, especially when the snow piled up in winter. Well, I can tell you that day, the design was changed. And rightly so. And I have personally referred to that stretch of sidewalk on our property ever since as Dorothy's Way. When we completed the new entryway and the elevator, we appealed to Ladies' Aid, with whom she was such an active member. We appealed for a grant for some furnishings for that new space, and the ladies generously agreed, but Dorothy had an addendum. Pastor, she said, we all appreciate how lovely it is now to enter the building and how helpful the elevator is, but when we invite women into fellowship in our basement and they need a restroom, we must point them to a facility that looks more like an outhouse. And that's not right. Formal design work began on the current new ladies' room immediately. Not because Dorothy said so, but because she said aloud what others knew to be true, what was needful. But there was no time in her life in which doubt and a sense of distance from her Lord was at all agreeable. In those times, she would call, or Susan or Claudio would call to say that a visit was necessary. In those times, she was candid about doubts and fears and frustrations. She didn't shy away from expressing what was on her heart if it was troubled. At times when others might be reluctant or embarrassed, she spoke with openness. And in those times, as she had throughout her entire life, she also listened to the Word of God. It wasn't her pastor's advice she needed. It was Christ speaking to her again through His Word, spoken by us. It was his gift of grace and assurance that she needed and joyfully desired in the powerful sacrament of communion. His body and blood right there again in her home for her. It was his invitation to prayer. In the familiar words of prayer that our Lord taught his disciples, who taught others, who eventually taught us. Words of promise Dorothy knew so well, even when other aspects of her life might seem foggy. And if her pastors brought to her anything aside from Christ, it was the simple assurance that she was always a part of the Trinity family, whether among us or not. And taken all together, she was uplifted. Her gentle, confident faith in her Lord strengthened again, and that gleam in her eyes, that gleam of joy, restored. And when it was finally time for her season upon this earth to end, she was ready. The night before she died, Susan described a telephone call shared between mother and daughter. And in the grip of serious illness and clearly expressing the desire for no substantial medical intervention, she conveyed to Susan how totally prepared and at peace she was for her homecoming. God was faithful, and she knew it. She knew that she was going to the place prepared for her by our Lord Jesus Christ. It was time to go home, time for reunion with her beloved Melvin, time to be in the presence of the Savior, who had always walked with her, always reassured her, always was the source of her deepest joy. And Susan described that phone call as the biggest gift a daughter could receive, and I imagine we can all agree. The hymns we sing today are all of her choosing, with particular note that the closing hymn must be the one that we will sing in a few moments. As we do, you might consider it a last opportunity for her gentle, confident faith to be shared among us. In the lyrics we sing, God be with you till we meet again, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Amen.